It's time to read God's words together, shall we? Please. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. This is God's word.
Good morning. It's great to see you all. It's good to see some new faces. I'm assuming some of you are here to join us as we commission Andrew into ministry here. Allow me to lead us in a prayer before we begin. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. We pray that you'd help us now as we think about it. Help us to remember what ministry is intended for. Father, we pray especially for Andrew. We pray that you would convict him of these truths again through your Spirit. Thank you for the ministry he's already been doing amongst us so far. I pray that you continue to use him for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What should a church look for in a pastor? What should a church look for in a pastor? A few days ago, I had a look online at some job adverts for pastoral positions. Just to clarify, not because I'm thinking of moving away from Christchurch, but out of curiosity as I was preparing for this talk. One church's advert listed the following qualities in their pastoral role profile. Number one, the person needs to have a love for God's word, integrity in living it, and a joy in communicating it. Number two, the person needs to be a good communicator and a good practical teacher. Number three, the person needs to have a heart for the lost and encourage people to be missional in their everyday lives. And finally, the person needs to be approachable, not too formal, knows how to have fun, and has a good sense of humor. I don't know about you, but I thought that the last one sounded like something you could equally find on someone's dating profile. I would love to meet someone who's approachable and not too formal, knows how to have fun, and has a good sense of humor. Although the role profile I read was not the one from our church's associate minister advert a few months ago, if you've spoken with Andrew or heard him preach, you'll know that he ticks boxes 1 to 3. He loves God's word. He's gifted at communicating it, and he has a heart for the lost. And you'll also know that he's approachable, formal, but not too formal. So his hair is always sharp, and he's always donning a fashionable shirt. But he doesn't wear socks when he wears trousers. He's formal, but not too formal. And you'll know that he's fun. And as to whether he has a good sense of humor, I'll let you decide. It depends on how much cheese you can handle. We're going to spend our time this morning looking at what 1 Peter teaches are the essential qualities of a pastor. At the end of the day, any church's criteria for selecting a pastor needs to be based on what the Bible teaches concerning this vital role. Now, if you're not Andrew or you're not currently in a ministry position and have no intention of becoming a pastor one day, you might wonder how this talk is relevant to you. There are at least two reasons why I think it's important for you to listen to what this passage teaches. Firstly, it'll help you know what you should expect from someone in a pastoral position. People have all sorts of different expectations as to what makes a good pastor. But are those expectations necessarily biblical? For example, having a pastor who can make you laugh through cracking jokes in his sermon might be fun, but if he's not living a godly life or faithfully teaching God's word, the church is going to be in trouble. Knowing what the Bible tells you to expect from your pastors enables you to look out for those qualities in them. And this will be useful for you while you're here at Christ Church, and also if you have to move on from Christ Church one day. So if a pastor here at our church were to stray from lining up with the descriptions laid out in the Bible, you'd be able to spot it. And if you were to move out of the area one day and needed to find a new church, this passage will inform you what to look for, what to look out for in the pastors of the church you're considering joining. When moving, you might be tempted to look for a church that has a particular style of music or that has lots of people in your stage of life. But one of the most important things you should look for is whether their pastors are seeking to live according to the guidelines set out for them in Scripture. Now, this does not mean you must expect your pastors to be perfect. They're flawed. They're not Jesus. But there needs to be a commitment to living the way God wants them to. Second reason this sermon, this passage is worth listening to is because it will help you know what to pray for. It will help you know how to pray for Andrew and for the rest of the pastoral team. So what does Peter say in these verses about what we should expect from a pastor? The first thing we learn is that a pastor needs to shepherd God's flock. That's our first point. A pastor needs to shepherd God's flock. Now, what does Peter mean when he says that elders should shepherd God's flock? As we know, sheep represent God's people. In the Old Testament, they represent Israel, and in the New Testament, Christians. And we learn from both Testaments that God deeply cares for and loves his sheep. So, for instance, in Ezekiel 34, we read of God's anger towards the religious leaders for their poor shepherding, their mistreatment of his people. This led God to promise that he would one day come to care for his people by shepherding them himself. And then in the New Testament, we see Jesus fulfill that promise. In John 10, we see that he is the good shepherd who loves his sheep. He loves you so much that he laid down his life for you. Right at the very end of John's gospel, shortly after Jesus' resurrection, we find Jesus speaking with Peter. Listen to what Jesus asked Peter to do as I read verses 15 to 17 from John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Why did Jesus ask Peter three times if he loved him? It's not because he was low in self-esteem and needed Peter's affirmation. It's because he didn't want Peter to be in any doubt as to what his mission would be after Christ ascended. Peter was to care for Jesus' sheep by feeding them. But feeding them what? God's word. In John chapter 17, Jesus says that he gave both his and his Father's words to the apostles. And that as the apostles later shared these words with others, that people would come to faith. Our faith is born and sustained by God's word. Back to 1 Peter and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, Peter says the following of Christians: "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." And then in chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." What are all Christians to do? To crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word. It is God's word that will grow you and sustain you. You need it. I need it. We cannot do without it. And that is why you need pastors who will faithfully feed it to you in their teaching. What's the best way that a pastor can love you? It's to speak God's word to you. It's God's word that will enable you to have a robust faith that can withstand even times of immense suffering. It is God's word that will keep you steadfastly waiting for the future glory that is to be revealed at Christ's return. What we all need is God's word. So church, pray that Andrew and the rest of the pastoral team here at Christ Church would continue loving and faithfully teaching God's word. The health of our flock, the church, depends on it. So the church needs pastors who will shepherd God's flock by teaching God's word. How should they do this? Peter mentions three ways. First, it must not be done under compulsion, but willingly. Peter says halfway through verse 2 of our passage that pastors must shepherd the flock not because you must, but because you are willing. Should we encourage someone who's very able at handling and teaching the Bible into pastoral ministry? It depends. If that person doesn't have a deep desire to do it, you should probably seek another vocation. It doesn't matter if he's a better preacher than John Stott or Dick Lucas. If he doesn't have a real heart to teach God's word, it's probably better that he does something else. And that's okay. There needs to be a real willingness, a real passion to lovingly share God's word with people. Second, ministry mustn't be done primarily for what you can get out of it, but for what you can give. What does Peter say at the end of verse 2? "Shepherd God's flock, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve." The word translated "dishonest" could also be translated "shameful." So I think the point Peter's making is not just that a pastor mustn't use his position to secretly redirect church funds into his personal bank account, but also that he mustn't use the ministry or see it as a pathway to wealth. Now, here in the UK, we don't generally expect someone to go into Christian ministry for the money. There are much better paying jobs out there than being a church pastor. Having said that, there are parts of the world where going into the pastorate is a way out of poverty. And there are parts of the world, including London, where ministry is a means to a high-paying salary. There are prosperity churches in London whose pastors earn 150K a year. Those are the ones we know about because they have to reveal how much they earn because of charity rules and stuff. I'm sure there are some who earn more than that. I think it's fair to say that Peter would probably have an issue with that. A pastor is not to go into ministry for what he can get out of it, but for what he can give. That is, he's to go into ministry in order to serve, primarily through teaching God's word. Third, ministry must not be done domineeringly, but in an exemplary way. Look at verse 3. Shepherd the flock, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Tragically, the saying, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, has been true of church ministers today, and has been true of church ministers in the past. But what a far cry that is from the Bible standards for ministers. In 1 Peter, all Christians, not just pastors, all Christians are instructed to live exemplary lives. And Peter says that this is important so that outsiders will not have any mud to sling at the church, which means our witness to the world can be more effective. And since that is true of the church generally, it is especially true of church leaders who have greater visibility due to their platform. Pastors are not to misuse their power to get their own way, but to serve others just as Christ did. That is how pastors can lead by example. A pastor whose focus is on money or power cannot lead by example. A pastor needs to willingly shepherd God's flock by faithfully teaching God's word, serving the best interests of the church, and leading by example. In addition to a church needing pastors who will shepherd God's flock, what else does it need? Well, it also needs pastors who are looking to Christ for their reward. That's our second, final and much shorter point, though not less important. A church needs pastors who are looking to Christ for their reward. Have a look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Why might Peter want to remind pastors here about the reward, the crown of glory? If pastors are excited about and looking forward to the reward that Christ, the chief shepherd, will give them, they'll not be as tempted to run after riches or to misuse their authority. And so they'll be more likely to shepherd God's flock well. It's interesting that Peter refers to the reward as a crown of glory. Peter's audience would have been familiar with leafy crowns that were given to people to celebrate sporting victories or military conquests. But unlike the leafy crowns, the coveted leafy crowns of the Greco-Roman world, the crown that Jesus will give will never fade away. The glory that we receive from humans in this life will always only ever be temporary. But the glory that comes from Christ is eternal. Peter wants us to focus on what is imperishable, not on what is perishable. If pastors do that, then the Christians they are shepherding in their churches will be more likely to as well. When you hear a preacher encourage you to live for what is eternal rather than for what is temporary, you'll only be able to take him seriously if you know he practices what he preaches. What does the church need from its pastors? It needs them to be looking forward to Christ's imperishable reward of eternal life as they shepherd the sheep through the teaching of God's word. Andrew, do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep. Feed his sheep. Church, pray for our brother Andrew. Give God thanks for him. I pray that he would continue to faithfully shepherd the church. And pray that he would continue to eagerly look forward to that crown that is waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how it gives us a blueprint for what we are to look for in church ministers. Father, we thank you so much for Andrew and Mal. We thank you for sending them to us. We pray that you would bless them during their time with us. Father, we pray for many years of fruitful and faithful ministry. We pray, Father, that that your spirit would enable Andrew to love your sheep, to feed your sheep. And Father, may Andrew always be looking forward to that wonderful reward, that crown that awaits. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.